You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Jeff Serkin. Dr. Serkin is an assistant professor in the Creative Writing Department here at the University of Texas at El Paso, but he's here to talk about an event that's happening this weekend and is called Writers Resist, and it's an event that's taking place in conjunction with a lot of other things that are going on around not just the nation but the world in honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Jeff, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about how Writers Resist all started.
Okay, well, I can tell you a little bit. Writers Resist is an organization that was started by a poet named Aaron Ballou, who I think was disheartened by the past year, its divisiveness, anger, hatred, fear, and disheartened by the election and sought to do something positive. And so asked, you know, what can a writer do? And so she started this organization called Writers Resist, which essentially is geared towards promoting democracy, inclusivity, solidarity, and a positive vision for the future. So what can writers do in a time of fear, anger, and divisiveness, but creatively imagine a future possibility of democracy and inclusivity and solidarity?
And as you and I have discussed before, and it's very obvious by saying something, but the written word is very powerful. And when someone writes something, whether it be on social media or anything else, depending on what they write and how that message is interpreted, what perspective that person has, it can do a lot of damage or a lot of healing.
Yeah, I would agree completely. And, you know, I think we live in an environment right now where there's so much being written and so little commitment to making sure that what's written is true and accurate. And that's not even to think about whether that message might be healing rather than divisive or promoting fear as opposed to promoting openness. So I think it's very important for writers to stand up at this moment and think about what can we do to promote inclusivity, to promote democracy, to promote truth.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because as you and I know, anybody who's been on Facebook, sometimes they'll read the first two, three words and then they hit share without reading the entire thing or see if it is true or false and how it's going to affect other people. And so with this being said, and we talked about this before the program started, that sometimes when someone hears about creative writers or creative writing, they automatically think of poems or poetry. Nothing wrong with poems or poetry. However, writers do a lot more than just do that, especially creative writers.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm primarily a poet, though, you know, creative writing encompasses all kinds of writing. You know, there's poetry, there's fiction, there's creative nonfiction. You know, I would say magazine writing is creative. But I think all creative writers share a devotion to trying to tell the truth about the world that we live in. And I think that that's something that we all share and that we all promote. And that's, I think, one reason for this event that we've organized is to try and promote a vision of democracy, inclusivity, of speaking the truth about the world that we're in.
So what you and Rosa Alcala, one of your colleagues from the Creative Writing Department, have decided to put together in the El Paso Writers Resist event that's going to be taking place this weekend, was this something that was difficult to get along and pass it along as far as getting people motivated, collecting? Because it seems like you didn't have much time to put this together.
You know, Professor Alcala brought this up to me a few weeks ago, I think before Christmas. She had seen that Writers Resist, this what's basically a national organization, had put out a call to writers to host their own readings in their local communities in conjunction with an event that they were holding in New York City, which is the Writers Resist reading, which is, you know, in their documentation, they say that their goal is to reinaugurate our commitment to democracy. And so we really, you know, we've been trying to figure out, you know, what can we do in this world to make this world a better place. And we thought, well, what better thing to do? Rosa and I have together organized many readings over the years, and we thought, well, we can do this. We can put this reading together. We immediately thought, well, let's not just make this a UTEP reading. Let's make this an El Paso reading. So we put a call out to basically people from every writing community that we knew in El Paso. So we put a call out to maybe 20 or 25 writers just to see who would be interested, and most of them were interested almost immediately. So we, you know, it wasn't really that difficult to put together in terms of getting people organized to do it. And we decided we wanted to have the event at the library downtown. You know, what better institution to host an event promoting democracy and inclusivity and truth and the access to information? And so we contacted the library. They were very easy to work with and set us up in the auditorium at the main library downtown. So it took us a couple of weeks to put it together, but everybody was very helpful, eager to participate, and it came together relatively quickly.
So, Jeff, because of the event, and it's going to be in commemoration, I would imagine, with Dr. King's birthday, what can people, having said what you just did, what can people expect when they show up to listen to the various readings?
Well, that's a good question. So the event is taking place on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, January 15th, and is in part in commemoration of his birthday and in commemoration of the ideals that he fought for in his life, the ideals of democracy and inclusivity, solidarity, and a positive vision for the future for everyone. We've got, I think at this point, 14 or 15 writers who are going to participate. Each writer is going to read one piece, probably around 3-4 minutes each, and the writers will be either reading something of their own or a text that they want to share with people, so a text that somebody else wrote, but the texts are all going to be geared towards the ideas of promoting democracy and inclusivity and solidarity. So you'll hear texts from local poets. For instance, Benjamin O'Leary Sines will be there. The poet Bobby Bird will be there. Professor Sasha Pimentel will be there, as well as Dr. Alcala and Michael Duncan, a local musician, and professor at EPCC will be there, along with a number of other people. And they'll either be, like I said, reading something of their own or reading a text such as perhaps Martin Luther King's Letter from a Birmingham Jail, which I believe we'll be opening the whole event with, just an excerpt from that.
And a lot of people who are familiar with Dr. King are familiar with the I Have a Dream speech, but don't realize how many writings he had, and particularly the one that you just mentioned, Letter from a Birmingham Jail. And as you being one of the participants as well as organizers, Jeff, would you mind sharing with us perhaps some of the things you're going to read or something else?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I've got a very short excerpt from Martin Luther King Jr.'s Letter from a Birmingham Jail. I could also read a short poem from Frank O'Hara if you've got time for that too. So this is a very short excerpt from Martin Luther King's Letter from a Birmingham Jail, which is a 10-page letter. I'm just reading a couple of paragraphs here. But it's a letter that he wrote in response to criticism of his participation in protests in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, essentially asking, what are you doing there? That's not your city. That's not your issue. And so he's writing back, this is why I'm here. And he says, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century BC left their villages and carried their thus saith the Lord far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns. And just as the apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. So that's just a couple short paragraphs from a much longer text.
But it shows you just how powerful that letter is.
Right. And I think that idea of inclusivity and mutuality is very, very important and key to what we're trying to accomplish here in El Paso, which is to bring together a very diverse community in solidarity at a very important moment to imagine a better future for all of us.
And you wanted to share a poem as well?
Yeah, let me find it here. Okay, this is a poem by the poet Frank O'Hara called Personal Poem. And it's a very different text. So here it is, personal poem. Now when I walk around at lunchtime, I have only two charms in my pocket. An old Roman coin Mike Kanemitsu gave me and a bolt head that broke off a packing case when I was in Madrid. The others never brought me too much luck, though they did help keep me in New York against coercion. But now I'm happy for a time and interested. I walk through the luminous humidity, passing the house of Seagram with its wet and its loungers and the construction to the left that close the sidewalk. If I ever get to be a construction worker, I'd like to have a silver hat, please. And get to Moriarty's, where I wait for Leroy and hear who wants to be a mover and shaker. The last 5 years, my batting average is .016, that's that. And Leroy comes in and tells me Miles Davis was clubbed 12 times last night outside Birdland by a cop. A lady asks us for a nickel for a terrible disease, but we don't give her one. We don't like terrible diseases. Then we go eat some fish and some ale. It's cool but crowded. We don't like Lionel Trilling, we decide. We like Don Allen. We don't like Henry James so much. We like Herman Melville. We don't want to be in the Poets' Walk in San Francisco. Even we just want to be rich and walk on girders and our silver hats. I wonder if one person out of the 8 million is thinking of me as I shake hands with Leroy and buy a strap for my wristwatch and go back to work happy at the thought, possibly so.
It's powerful. Yeah. What's the name of this poem again?
It's called Personal Poem. And the Leroy in the poem is the poet Leroy Jones, who later changed his name to Amiri Baraka. But he was a friend of Frank O'Hara's. And, you know, I think the poem is interesting because in the middle of the poem, when it starts talking about Miles Davis being clubbed by a cop and a woman asking for money
for terrible diseases,
it introduces like this darkness into the middle of the poem that the poem resolves by seeing the speaker reach out towards other people, trying to see himself as part of the whole, as someone in connection with others, seeking interconnectedness rather than division.
And I'm not sure if she wanted to kind of insert a little bit of humor there, but at least that's the way I interpreted it when she said we don't like terrible diseases,
right?
Because it sounded like the lady was asking, give me money for this terrible disease.
Right. But, yeah. And I think it's interesting because, you know, that darkness and division in the middle of the poem, like it really breaks the poem in some ways and breaks the kind of like flow of the sort of friendly afternoon lunch that's happening. And it's all brought together again then by the speakers reaching out towards connection with other people.
And when you read and she wrote about the part about Miles Davis, I mean, I think that really captured a lot of people's attention because, wow.
Yeah.
But then again, something that's happening now.
Yeah, and I think that the poem is very contemporary. You know, it was written in 1959, but it feels very contemporary. You know, it was written at the moment when the civil rights movement was about to break open. You know, a couple of years before the civil rights movement really became a national, really entered the national consciousness. But there's still, you know, there's still division in our world. Clearly, you know, we've spent the last year seeing, like, living in a world, in a nation that feels like it's been hijacked by division, fear, anger, hatred, and paranoia, and cynicism as a result of all of that. I think poetry and writing in general has the potential to undo all of that and help us see each other as connected rather than divided, and can hopefully help us see a way forward into the future together as opposed to separately.
Jeff, would you mind giving us again the time, date, and place where this is going to be taking place?
Of course. So this is the El Paso Writers Resist reading. I'll note again, it's one, it's a local reading, but it's one reading out of more than 50 readings across the nation commemorating Martin Luther King's birthday and also reinaugurating our commitment to the ideals of democracy, freedom, inclusivity, and a positive vision for the future. So this is El Paso Writers Resist. It's taking place Sunday, January 15th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the El Paso Public Library downtown in the main library auditorium. And that'll be featuring writers from across El Paso, including Benjamin Sines, Bobby Bird, Rosa Alcala, Roberto Santos, and many, many more.
Yourself.
And myself.
You're very humble.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff, very much for being with us. We've been visiting with Dr. Jeff Serkin. Dr. Serkin is an assistant professor in the creative writing program here on campus, and he's been talking about El Paso Writers Resist. Special readings that are going to be going on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. That's Sunday the 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the El Paso Public Library downtown in the auditorium. Jeff, again, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me on.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.